T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Oh, here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
In Theo we trust mantra. The best at his job in the sport.
Falling in love with someone you can never be with.
You are so beautiful.
No one's perfect. He's just better than everyone else at it, or at least no one's markedly better than him.
To me,
there's no one that's definitely better at that job than Theo Epstein.
You are so beautiful.
I don't know what he's gonna do next. I'm just happy he runs the baseball team that I root for.
To me, can't you see? You are so beautiful.
Like, I don't know if he will own a baseball team to be commissioner. I don't know if he wants to run for mayor or senate or run the DNC. The DNC is talks to Theo Epstein.
You are so beautiful.
I really think that he's got the type of skill sets and intellect and acumen.
And you know who that is, right? Do we love him?
Super connected and wildly intelligent.
Can't you see?
Did that answer on Joe Ricketts' emails?
You're everything I hope for.
Really thoughtful, well done answer.
I love that man.
He was great. He was great. In Theo, we trust, Mac.
You are so beautiful.
It's the type of man that you'd want to marry your sister. Oh my God, I'm dying. He's just a guy I'm glad is running my baseball team. I'm fine with it. Hey, the man delivered a World Series to Cubs fans. I'd trade Chris Bryant before I'd trade Theo.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Yo! Saddle up, lock and load.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
The thing about marrying my sister was a joke, but everything else I stand by.
Oh, boy. Danny and I talked yesterday before the show, and okay, fix was in, but I thought maybe by Monday it didn't take you past yesterday at 5 o'clock, and we had ample material for that.
There's more.
Oh, I don't doubt
There's
it.
There's more.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, hey, listen, what did I say that wasn't true? That's not rhetorical. Let's go. Give me the rebuttal. Give me the other side.
I got nothing.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
Shep.
He's all things to all people.
I agreed with you from the start. I just wouldn't have put it as quite flowingly.
Okay. That's fine.
Not writing a love letter to Theo by any means.
Texter says, let's see how much you love him after the Cubs have an 82-win season.
That's the projection from Pecota. They know.
They're not taking the banner down, are they?
No, they're not.
Oh, okay. Then I'll be fine.
Well, you don't want them to be the 85 Bears either and win win one, and then they parade around town for decades afterward and collect checks.
No, I expect that they'll get another before Chris Bryant leaves town. That's my expectation. Whether it's this year, the year after that, I expect they get one of the next three.
Okay.
That's the goal.
How will you celebrate with the president?
I doubt I'll be invited to the...
I'm sure you'll find a way to sit on his lap.
No.
You guys about the same height, right?
Yeah. We have a good conversation.
He's deceptively tall. He looks... I always thought on television he looked small. You know, when I met him, and I'm like, wow, he's...
probably 5'11", 6 feet.
Yeah, of course, just his aura probably makes him a few inches taller than he really is.
He doesn't have to walk. He levitates. That's what most people don't know.
That's what I need from you.
Yeah, most people don't know that.
Unconditional, adulterated lickage.
Hey, sure. Yeah. Man deserves it. This hour on The Score brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards. What are you saying?
You're awesome.
You really are, man. I'm not embarrassed. A couple of texts coming in from our conversation last hour. Come on, guys. When I was a kid, we went everywhere in the back of a pickup truck.
Right, so did I. That was stupid. That's what our point is.
Exactly. Also used to smoke cigarettes in cars with the windows rolled up and your kid in the back without a car seat.
Right. It was fun because we didn't die. This is what we call progress. Not doing that, but people are still doing it. I see it every summer.
Oh, it's insane.
Yeah. Now, I live in Indiana, but I see it across the state line as well.
Sure.
I don't think it's a geographical distinction. I think it's everywhere.
You don't think it's higher per capita in Indiana?
Oh, we only got to go a mile and a half. You know, what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah. The concrete hurts the same, whether you're going long distance or a short distance.
And the comeback is most accidents happen about a mile from your home. Yeah, I had a really stupid uncle. I told him that once, so, you know, he moved.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
How'd you deliver the message? Just like a lot of tact and...
It was a joke. Oh. It was a bad joke.
Okay, yeah. I wasn't sure.
I got it. Yeah. I put my head down in disgust.
Shep got it. My bad. Man, that's what 8 years with Harry did.
Okay.
That's right.
Well, you didn't tag the at the end of it.
Right.
That's how I missed it.
I think it's a Rodney Dangerfield joke.
Is it?
Sounds like a Rodney joke.
Okay. Probably.
I'll give it more respect next time. Texter says, a few years ago, my daughter's travel team softball coach sent out an email stating that if you plan on playing two sports, don't plan on making the team. She was 12.
That's absurd.
Travel coaches are ridiculous.
The
whole travel baseball thing is so absurd to me.
It's so embarrassing.
It interrupts parents' lives all over this country and probably others every year. You don't have, moms and dads don't have an opportunity to go vacation. I've seen this in recent years with family. Because travel baseball, you're in Cincinnati one weekend, 2 weekends later, you're in Indianapolis, 2 weekends later, you're in Des Moines. It's nonstop.
You're spending a mortgage on a house for a kid that's never going to get a college scholarship, much
Hotels,
less play in the pros.
Eating fast food. It's not exactly how mom and dad saw their summer vacations going when they decided to reproduce.
Not to mention their savings and all the money. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. And then you get plenty of people also texting in saying that, no, I'm a coach that wants specialization, and I'm a travel baseball coach who encourages it, and my best player tore his ACL playing football. What are you going to do?
They're kids. Let them be kids.
Well, right, but that's the thing. That's conflict, right? Some people are saying 12-year-old girls softball, got to only play that. Other people, college-age baseball, say, go play other sports. So then it's just luck of the draw?
Yeah.
What coach you get, what district you're in? That's insane that there's not more uniformity.
I agree.
That's scary.
I agree. It's always bothered me. It doesn't make any sense. You let it be a joyous experience. You know, you treat them like a job, and it becomes joyless. You referenced the movie with J.K. Simmons,
Whiplash.
The drummer's Whiplash the other day. The drum mechanic.
His hands are just going back and forth. I'm like, okay.
I thought my youngest was going to absolutely eat that up because he considered going to a music school in Boston. I couldn't push him to go. And I said, he's a drummer. And I said, check this out, you know. And he hated it from start to finish because there was no joy. Miles Teller's character was getting no joy out of. Now, he was so driven, I think he needed it. But the way J.K. Simmons' character treated those kids in that, they're not kids, they're young adults.
Yeah.
But that takes the joy all out of it, and people pick up a guitar for the first time or play drums or bass or piano because it touches their heart. It means something to them. Make it a job, and that's a quick way to screw it all up.
Well, you know, it's close to what we do in some ways, right? Like, so many people think our jobs are cool because we've turned a hobby, watching sports, into a career, and it is. It's an amazing job, and I can't think of what I would do if I didn't do this job, but there are elements of it that make sports less fun or turn it into a job, and no one cares or feels sympathy for you.
Right. But, no, you're not asking for it either, I don't think.
No, but when you pursue a hobby for a profession, it's great because you just find something you love and then do it for the rest of your life, but then it does take away some of the love for it.
It does, but when you're training for it, whether it's at Ball State or Syracuse, I doubt either one of us can remember a teacher or instructor at the radio stations whipping a music stand at us because we didn't do it the way they wanted to.
No question. Obviously, there are extreme ways to take it out, but I'm just saying the following your passion is great 90% of the time. The 10% is, the passion changes a little bit.
Yeah, it sure does. My son's mother, I don't like to call her my ex. My son's mother, Jill, and I differed on whether he should go to music school or go to school in Indiana and major in music. And she said, no, he's got excellent math skills. He should do something in math. He could be an architect if he wanted to be. His math is so good. It's not what he wants to be. I wanted to be a sports writer, sportscaster. And my mother encouraged me to do it. And if he wants to do music, let's let him do music, and because that's his passion, and also encourage him to have a parachute. And she wound up agreeing with me on that. We had a unified front on that. I just couldn't get him to go to Boston as much as I wanted to.
Oh, what was the hesitation? Just too far?
Jackie was a little bit fragile as a younger man. He very withdrawn. Didn't trust himself, perhaps, to make friends in Boston. I said, Jack, you're going to be at a school with 250 music majors. You're going to love it. There's 7-8 colleges all in Boston.
It's a great time.
And if you get homesick, you could go to the airport and come home. There's 50 flights a day out of Boston for $200.
Right.
I'll give you a credit card. You can come home for a weekend. I'm not going to ding you for that if you get homesick. Didn't do it. And I think now he's regretting it.
Does he? That was going to be the next
question. But at least he's out in the bars, and he's drumming, and he's making it happen.
He's gigging.
Yeah, he's gigging.
He's gigging. That's incredible. This segment is brought to you by Subway. Order a sub directly from your sofa. Subway now delivers your favorite sub, salad, or signature wrap straight to your door. Go to subway.com/delivers to order with Uber Eats, Grubhub, DoorDash, or Postmates. Delivery available in select areas. See subway.com/delivers for details. Texter wrote in, if Theo ran the Bulls, would they be in a better place?
Oh, 2 years ago, they'd have captured Larry O'Brien Trophy, I think.
I think they would rename it after Theo. Just be the Theo Trophy. Like, if you're going to paint me into this corner, I'll play the character.
Multi-sport executive par excellence.
Someone texted in yesterday like it was a shot. They're like, wow, Parkins, you're just loving on Theo and Ryan Pace so much these days. Like, yeah. The executive who brought the Cubs a World Series and the GM who I think is going to bring the Bears a Super Bowl.
Yeah, within 2 years, Ryan Pace has made the Bears a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, I'm okay being on that island and being in that
right,
corner.
Right,
it's a weird place to
right.
be.
Yeah, Danny's sniffing, but it's a good sniff to him.
I mean, is it sniffing? Like, is sports talk radio just in people's minds so skewed negatively that if you praise a job well done, you're a sniffer? Is that what it is?
No, I think a lot of it is people have a predisposition to when I've observed doing this for a little bit is when you kiss somebody, and I've had my share of guys I've kissed over the years, the people who want to pound you for it are the people who already don't like you.
Don't like you or don't like the person that you're praising?
Well, one or the other or both.
I see.
Yeah, they got an axe to grind with you, and as I knew they did with me, and they just don't want to hear you fall in love with somebody. That offends their sensibilities.
Yeah, and in some people's cases, I'm sure it's a Sox fan who doesn't want to hear it about the Cubs.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And then for some of the Bears fans, it was probably that they were really anti-Ryan Pace when I was like, you know what? I actually see what he's doing by not signing the long-term contracts. I'm going to see this one play out. Ultimately, it looks like I was right, but we'll see. This thing might never end in a Super Bowl. They could be next year. They could be the Jaguars, and it could be a one-year wonder with no draft picks. I don't think that's going to be the case, but it's certainly possible. The book isn't closed on that.
Yeah, we need to see more of the quarterback out of the woods. I feel, but not into clear view, walking distance of the rainbow you're chasing. Do you see the note Shep put on the computer there? We were talking about tall guys and what happens if a guy gets to be 17 feet. The tallest man in the history of the world was from Alton, Illinois, same hometown as Tampa Bay's announcer Dwayne Statz.
Fun fact.
Maddox from the stretch. Robert Pershing Wadlow was 8'11". 8'11". Let's give him 9. He's a 9-footer. He lived to be 22.
That's sad. Just ever since I saw that Andre the Giant documentary, too, you just have so much more sympathy for people in those types of situations.
What the hell did they do at the funeral home?
I mean,
you have
a special,
you have to get a custom casket if they didn't, cremate him.
I mean, everything in his life was custom. Custom shower, custom doorway, custom clothes. So, the last thing, custom casket,
right.
I'm sure.
Custom smart bed like you got.
Whew. You think all the way up to 100? On a scale of 0 to 100?
Excuse me, do you have any 10-foot beds? They need one for the world's tallest man, Mr. Pershing Wadlow.
Dan Landers is coming up at 3, but you feel good?
My stomach has been acting up. I apologize in advance if I vomit in the studio today. I just don't feel well, man.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That's very kind of you. Yeah, thank you for the apology.
Yeah, I'm trying to cut. Jay's daughter, Addie's Girl Scout cookies arrived today, so I'm trying a little dosey doze to get me through the day, and I'm tired as F, and I shouldn't be drinking a ton of coffee because my blood pressure's been a little high lately. This is what you guys have to look forward to in 20 years.
Damn. Well, like you said though, you're an old 57. You've lived young at heart.
Yeah,
young
exactly,
in spirit,
right.
But it's been a hard life.
Yeah, the body's at least 67.
Right? It's got to be. So hopefully we got 30 years until we're there. But
nice.
Jim Boylan.
Everything hurts on me too.
Is being confronted with questions about the Bulls' reputation or lack thereof, just like Pax was last week. So we'll hear how the coach handles it coming up on the Score.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
It's a great moment on Mullion Hall with Jim Boylan.
Jim Boylan is a hoot. I never would have seen him if he grew up in my neighborhood.
That's true.
Well, it's not, you know, as I reconsider that, I would hang out at Pettit Park to had friends who played basketball. That's where I could have seen Jim Boylan shooting his jumper, working on his career at the age of 13 or 14.
When he wasn't skiing.
Can't do anything else.
No,
I got my power skateboard. I got my big fat tire bike. And
whoa. Wow. I said it at the same time Chuck did. Whoa.
You are coming in.
They start to think
it's
like him.
It's a mind meld right there.
Yeah.
Wow.
I will say, for the early concerns with after that Boston game and the practice and the reputation around the league and everyone talking about it, and then his weird interview where he backed up loving isolations from the post.
Right.
It's funny what happens when Lauri Markkanen starts dropping 30 every night and they trade for a good 3-and-D guy. Their offense was awesome last night. Their offense has been really good the last 4 or 5 games.
You cash in?
No.
Why not?
It's because I'm not betting on them. They don't.
Well, I thought maybe you bet a total. Maybe you bet against them. You're going to watch. You watch this stuff still.
I do.
You're in that. You like them. You like the history of the organization. Certainly not the present of it. Not much to like there. So you still sign up for that. And I would have assumed that you needed a $50 play on it to garner your evening.
Well, there's also, you know, there's passive watching and there's active watching. Often this team is. I'm watching an episode of a show with Steph, and it's on the top for the first half, and then I lock in on the second half if they're close, or vice versa. You know what I mean? I'm not watching with sound live,
right.
Full commercials,
right.
the entire game. But
therefore, if you want it, you see the score, it gets to be a big differential, then you fade on it.
Something big's happening, pause it, turn on the volume of that, flip the volume, rewind, that sort of thing.
Makes sense.
Yeah, but Otto Porter is a good basketball player. He is an upgrade, and they are better since the trade, and that is where the conflict lies, because you don't really want them to be better now that they've started out this bad, because it's a great draft class.
Yours is a series, as an ardent Bulls fans, of continuing moments where you have to accept your fate. You seem to have accepted your fate that John Paxson and Gar Forman are going to be allowed, at least the top, is going to be allowed to continue to run this.
Yep.
You need to start getting your head around, if you haven't already, the idea that Zion Williamson will not be a Bull until he becomes a free agent, because they're going to win too many. Right, and we'll see how. That's a long
Zion
time
Williamson
from now.
Zion Williamson will be a bust of a player if that's the case.
Yeah, no,
well, that or they rehab their image. By the time he's a free agent, they will have had ample time to get their act together.
They hire in Theo to run basketball operations.
Yeah, they've got a better shot at them winning the draft lottery than they do of him choosing them in free agency 7 years from now, even if they don't have the best shot at the draft lottery. But so, yeah, that's the conflict. That's the reality. That's been my main criticism, that luck isn't a plan.
Second year in a row, they can't get tanking right.
But it doesn't mean, by the way, I always feel like I need to be clear on this. That doesn't mean I won't be rooting like hell for them to get lucky.
Sure.
You know, I want them to win the draft lottery. I want them to get Zion Williamson. That would be incredible.
Well, Porter was, 16 of 20 from the floor last night? Did I read that?
21,
right?
I want to say.
16 out of 20, I thought I saw.
Yeah.
That is getting it done, man.
Yeah, he was 12 for his first 15. He was awesome. Career high, 37 points. he spaces the floor, which opens up cutting lanes for Lowry and LaVine. LaVine's been passing more. It was a really nice offensive display last night, and they're doing all of this without Wendell Carter. Now, all of this is, you know, they've won two of their last, like, seven games, so it's not that big of a deal, but they beat the Grizzlies last night. The questions to Jim Boylen were interesting because our guy Cody Westerlund and Joe Cowley pursued, I'll say, a similar line of questioning that I did with John Paxson on Reputation, and this is how Jim Boylen handled it.
Bobby Portis went on record saying that Garfunkel
could be on, but beyond that, I don't know what content they could put on that would draw me in. I don't actively watch pregame or postgame. I may leave the channel on before or after the game, but I'm not consuming the product. If I want analysis or other baseball highlights, I switch to MLB Network. I might watch a baseball movie if it's on or a documentary, but that would be a once-a-month thing. Beyond the live sports, I don't watch the other programming on NBC Sports Chicago or WGN, the existing channels, and there are no other local Chicago sports that appeal to me. We're going to see another Bears postgame show? The football game's boring enough. I don't need to watch more washed-up players talking about the boring football game. I don't see what a dedicated network gets the Cubs other than a lot of risk. They have to negotiate with the existing providers for carriage. I hope we don't end up with a Dodgers situation where games aren't on locally. It just seems like a 2007 television solution.
Well, this is where Jay and I were talking about this earlier. We were all talking about this before the show. This is where the ability and the, I don't know, the mobility of an app would be beneficial to them. An app where you're able to, on demand, pick up a whole bunch of old Cubs programming. I don't know how much, it was David, right, the emailer? I don't know how much he'd be into it.
Do the Cubs own that? Because that's on other channels.
I don't know.
If you're NBC Sportsnet.
I know MLB owns it, and I would imagine that if MLB no longer has, I mean, you can, they had to take the Kerry Wood 20 strikeout game off of their own streaming for a couple of years. I had to get my brother the DVD of the game because he wanted it so badly. He just would throw it in over the winter and watch the 20 strikeout game. People do stuff like that. And if you had a whole assortment of highlights or full games or past games to watch through, that would save you the time and expense, perhaps in a different way, of buying the DVD set of the World Series championship run. Some people watch that once a year. They'll sit down and watch every single one of those games because of how much it meant to them. And if this was accessible on an app through your marquee sports network, I think that's something you could sell in addition to, or maybe instead of, whatever late night show you want to run, or your talking head show, or your antique road show type thing, or whatever else you're into. You've got to give somebody other places or other products to watch in your one place.
And members of the Talking Heads. You're Rudy welcome. Says, programming this new sports station would be easy and a bunch of fun. Off the top of my head, if the Cubs retained any of the video rights to all the concert footage at Wrigley Field, they could run that.
Ooh, I didn't think of that. That's a great idea.
Could also use hot stove cool music that Theo's been doing, run the content that you're taping at the convention. You could tap into all incredible local stand-up comedy talent, all of which is funnier than Ryan Dempster. So apparently kids watching other kids playing video games is popular. Do a baseball thing and run it. Ideas are endless. However, we're not going to get the show we really need. I finally want that full-blown late-night style talk show with Lou Piniella in the pool with a margarita. The full opening monologue. I want to band all of it. That would be like printing money. Yeah, that was my idea. It was my idea after Lou retired. He's got one of those floating chaise lounges.
Yeah.
You're
kind of like a quarter in the water,
yes,
a quarter out of the
correct,
water.
Correct. He's got a prickly pear margarita in either one of the drink holders.
Of course.
He's got wraparound sunglasses on, the big belly.
Massive.
Just out. Just massive belly just sitting there. You can even sell ad space on it if you want. And he's got some sort of Hawaiian printed, you know, Bermuda swim trunks.
Uh-huh.
Talking to Lou Piniella. Late night in the pool. Who's on the show? Who, are you seeing the list? You know, there's like a steel.
You're damn right I thought about it. You think I'm stupid or something?
And you've got a band leader.
I want him introducing a live band too.
Over there is Steve on the steel drum.
So it's like a little.
How'd they get me to do this?
It's just like it's like a little. No, it's not Stony.
No, it could be. Right, it could be
still better than sitting next to Hawk.
For all you kids out there. No, but it's just you get some guy with a small steel drum band, you know, maybe a guy with like a washed up bass or something, and the guests are floated over to Lou.
Just kind of pushed from the edge of the pool.
They drift
between the pool noodles.
they kind of bump into him a little bit, and then they have to rearrange the cameras moving around.
But Lou handed drinks every time he's empty. Just a hand appearing from off screen. Lou, here's the and then give me the okay, we're good.
He constantly has a refreshed prickly pear margarita.
Just kind of pawing, baseball you play.
Pawing off screen for a new one.
I mean, there's like a bowl of guacamole with a couple of chips in it. It's perfect.
You can get cold and look puny real quick.
As they go to break, you know, when the sound cuts off and you still have the little bit of, like when news anchors talk to each other after as the credits roll, Lou's just kind of pawing for the guacamole back behind him.
I can't get to it. I lost the guacamole.
You're damn right I thought about it.
That would be, yes. Probably a full hour for that.
There's some other baseball things going on, and you've just been cackling over there about this Trevor Bauer story.
I've been cultivating some tweets. People are reporting to camp, so you're getting all the weird stories, the funny ones, the sad ones, and the newsy ones as well. Plus, Trevor Bauer did a thing. And as much as Trevor Bauer is a jerk and a bag, he is smart and good at baseball, and this story is
everybody hates him.
It'll blow your socks off. And he found out that everybody hates him just the other day. We'll get to that next. Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I know the guy's not perfect. I know the guy's a jerk face at times.
Let's hear about that specific jerk face who's having himself quite a Twitter day. Huh?
I got some stuff for you. We're going to get there. Here's some stuff on Twitter that we found from all sorts of camps reporting to spring training. A couple of funny tweets, a couple of stories. I think, Dan, we found a new storyline, at least this year, that will supplant, at least for a couple of days, the guy who's in the best shape of his life. Okay. Mike Petriello, who covers baseball for ESPN and Fangraphs and Statcast and all this kind of stuff. He's been doing this and cataloging this. Every team in baseball, it seems, is now getting on board the high-speed camera thing. And every reporter who covers those teams has now started doing a piece on, look, this team now has a high-speed camera. Last year it was the Astros, the only team in baseball that actually had one of these. That's, you know, it's the Edgertronic or the Rapsodo or whatever the hell you're into. Remember, we read about Adam Ottavino reshaping his slider, right? Slider with one of these high-speed cameras and doing it in a gym in New York or something. He has cataloged all these teams who have now got stories out there or quotes out there of high-speed cameras involved.
Oh, that's great.
The Tigers, the Twins, the Rockies, the Cubs, the Mariners, the Angels, the Orioles, although it might just be a disposable Kodak camera, the Giants, the Rangers, the White Sox, the Red Sox, the Reds, the Padres, and the Dodgers. The Orioles are out there with like a drunken photographer. Right. Like, I don't know. Who are the pitchers?
Are we doing the camera?
That's half the league.
Yep.
Half the league is on board with this, the high-speed camera. That is your brand new best shape of your life. Here's another tweet. This one more of a baseball newsy tweet. Matt Breen for the Philly Inquirer had this one. Jake Arrieta threw the entire last half of the season with a torn meniscus, but says he'll be ready to go and ready to start the season on time. Andrew Baggerly of The Athletic has this from Johnny Cueto. He's going to play catch next week. Johnny's coming back from an injury. But that's not the worst news for Johnny. Johnny's horse, his beloved favorite horse, Popeye, has died.
Not Popeye.
Popeye died from eating poisonous grasshoppers.
Whoa. What?
That is all I have for you.
And the horse that rode in on that.
Wait,
the
Johnny most information. Cueto's horse, Popeye.
That's right. His favorite, his beloved horse, Popeye.
What do you have to say for that, Captain Insect?
He ate poisonous grasshoppers.
I'm not for eating poisonous insects. Well, speaking of which, guess who we're talking to tomorrow?
Grasshoppers?
No, we're talking to the man on whose show I learned an appreciation for eating insects.
Andrew Zimmern?
Yes. Andrew Zimmern is going to be on Zimmern and the man who raised my children.
Why did he raise your children?
My kids at a very young age fell in love with his show. It was seriously, they went immediately from Elmo to him. There was something about his appearance that they just found.
I mean, I was a Mr. Rogers guy.
No,
for sure.
My kids like imprinted on him like wading birds or something, and they just loved watching him. And we then used the show to teach geography and chemistry, and all, and they turned into both incredibly adventurous eaters.
Huh?
They both have eaten insects because of Andrew Zimmern.
They still eaten insects?
Yeah, well, when Sticky Rice got rid of the bamboo caterpillars, we were all very disappointed.
Yeah, so I don't know whether the grasshoppers that killed old Popeye were poisonous just to horses or whether they were generally poisonous grasshoppers. I'm not sure. You know how a dog can eat chocolate and that's not good for it? I don't know if it's a digestion thing with the horse or not, but Popeye is no more. It's because he ate poisonous grasshoppers. You know, one thing I learned from watching Ryan Terrio play baseball is never go to your own arbitration hearing.
Oh, God, no.
Don't do that.
All they're going to do is tell you how horrible and awful you are and why you're not worth anything.
I am going to read you a story that Bob Nightingale wrote in USA Today. And Nightingale has the headline here. It says, Trevor Bauer accuses Indians of character assassination in arbitration hearing. Now, you stop me, Dan, whenever you feel like it, whenever you hear something that he never should have done in the first place.
Okay.
Cleveland Indians pitcher Trevor Bauer, who won his arbitration case for $13 million, says he enjoyed the process until the final 10 minutes in which he accused the Indians representatives of presenting a character assassination against him. Bauer, will be eligible for free agency in 2 years, said he has no interest in signing a long-term contract with Cleveland or anyone else and intends to be in the arbitration hearing one last time next winter. Bauer was awarded a $13 million contract in the arbitration hearing, the second time he defeated Cleveland in the process, which proposed an $11 million salary. He believes that if not for sustaining a stress fracture in his right leg in August, he would have won the Cy Young and earned at least $16 million. They spent the last 10 minutes of the case trying character assassination, Bauer said. I learned that giving to charity is a bad thing. I learned that agreeing with someone on a podcast just for the sake of argument that I was worth $10.5 million should be the definitive answer as to why I'm not worth $13. What else did they say? Basically that I'm a terrible human being, Bauer said, which was interesting on their part. I thought that giving to charity, especially because they didn't mention it, was a charitable campaign, just mentioned the name. Bauer, that's exactly what he said. Bauer is referring to his 69 Days of Giving campaign he touted last spring after winning his arbitration case. They don't mention that I gave to 68 charities, which 69 Days of Giving, 68 charities, or that I donated more than $100,000, or that the whole point of the campaign was to bring awareness to all those charities past the money I was giving them. Nothing about that. They just tried to say that I was bad for donating or for running that campaign. Painfully, the arbitrator didn't see it as a negative. Bauer insists he doesn't have ill will toward the Cleveland organization, but even though their front office wasn't in the arbitration hearing, doesn't quite excuse them either. You never know how the character assassination plays out, and considering that's what ended it, it kind of put a black mark on what I thought was really just arguing the case on both sides. There's not room for that. Let's just stick to the numbers. You let the numbers tell the story. You don't need to bring character assassination into it, especially for charitable campaigns. Now, remember, an aside for a moment here.
Don't go to your own arbitration hearing.
Don't go. But remember, Trevor Bauer is also the player who spent 72 hours on Twitter trolling a teenage girl for no reason other than she thought Trevor Bauer made kind of a stupid point on Twitter and tweeted about it. Trevor Bauer, man who could have won the Cy Young if not for a fractured leg, spending 72 hours on Twitter going after a teenage girl who didn't really know who the hell he was in the first place. That, though, is apparently character assassination. I don't know why Trevor Bauer continues to do the things that he does.
Because he's Trevor Bauer and
but
he can't help
there
himself.
There is no stopping him. And there's actually a connection here, too, because every single team is bringing in the slow motion cameras and the Edutronics and Rapsodos and stuff. Bauer is one of the guys who was an early adopter of the slow motion camera. He is a driveline type dude. He is a biomechanic guy. He's really smart when it comes to pitching and how best to tweak things just a little bit and change stuff here or there to make him the best he can be. But he's also kind of an asshat who won't stop screwing around with drones on the eve of starts of his World Series and bleeding profusely all over the mound. And he can't stop himself on Twitter either. So the guy just waltzed into his arbitration hearing because he can't help but hear things about himself.
According to this thing I found on the internet, some species of grasshopper are perfectly edible. Others contain chemicals that make them poisonous, or at least so noxious that almost nothing will eat them. Grasshoppers like that often display bright colors as a warning to predators. It doesn't say anything specifically about a grasshopper poisonous to horses. I've never heard about that. You ever eaten a grasshopper?
No, I haven't. I probably would eat a grasshopper if I'd been presented.
I was actually, there was an article in Baseball America about me eating a grasshopper.
What?
I don't know. It sort of like was pre-internet viralization. I don't know how it happened that I was in the dugout before a Rockford Royals game, doing pregame dugout stuff, talking to guys. And the son of the pitching coach, 5 years old, and he caught this big grasshopper. And he had it in his hands, and he was kind of playing with it, and they were telling him to let it go and all this. But he was having fun with it, and he brought it over, and he showed me. And I looked at it, and I said, oh, that's a nice grasshopper. And I picked it up, and I ate it. Just to see the look on the kid's face. and of course, the players are like, dude, what are you doing? And I'm going, thanks, Brett. That was a really good grasshopper. And he just turns around. And I guess there was a writer there. I forgot who it was. Somebody was like, there was a Baseball America guy that was making the rounds, and he was over in the other dugout. But the PR director, who was a friend of mine, mentioned, hey, did you see what just happened to the other dugout? I was like, no, what? And he wrote this blurb
about the grasshopper.
Yeah, was it Will Lingo? I forgot who, but it was some.
It's like
wrote a chunk. It said bug eating broadcaster.
You're lucky you didn't get Eduardo Saverin. With the guy from Facebook who had the story planted about the cannibalizing chickens or whatever, that he was feeding chickens to chicken. That could have ruined the whole reputation. That could have ruined your entire talk show career.
Hey, man, just get the name out there. You're trying to make a name for yourself at that point. You get your name in Baseball America. You're a broadcaster. I remember your name. You're a broadcaster somewhere. Sure.
Also, really quickly here, don't do this. Don't be Ramblin' Grimace. Don't do this.
What?
Apparently, Johnny Cueto was taking pictures of his dead horse Popeye and putting them out there on Instagram. And Ramblin' Grimace has taken it upon itself, it's Ramblin' Grimace, to text and tweet this out there and tag me and let me know that I can find pictures of Popeye dead on the ground.
That's it. I'm getting Popeyes for lunch.
Who would do this?
Why
would you send me this? I don't want to see pictures of a dead horse.
If you are a horse owner, do you know anything about the potential danger of poisonous grasshoppers?
Don't you? You're supposed to, right?
Is this a horse thing?
Did it accidentally eat the grasshoppers? Were they feeding it grasshoppers only to later go, oh, I guess those were poisonous because Popeye's dead?
I don't. We need to get to the bottom of this.
Johnny Cueto's, his entire Instagram is basically dedicated to this horse.
Well,
he's washing it, he's bathing it, and then he's taking photos of it while it's dead.
He's got to stop beating a dead horse. Dan in Champaign, you're on the score.
Hi, guys. I know you've moved on, but I had to jump in on this Sinclair business. I'm 70 years old, been a Cub fan all my life, and I was looking forward to the opportunity to watch the games on this new service, but I cannot. I was a journalist for most of my professional life, and I cannot stomach the idea of any of my subscription fee going to a media conglomerate like Sinclair that so directly interferes with the editorial content of their programming. And I'm very disappointed. I know I'm not in the target demographic. Nobody probably gives a damn about it, but I do, and they won't see a penny of my money going to that organization.
That is your decision.
Yeah. Dan, appreciate the phone call.
Which I certainly wouldn't begin to argue. So
I wonder how many are going to make a similar decision. I mean, we're in an age now where that could go under the radar in other circumstances. You know, Sinclair's ties to, you know, political sides. That could have gone under the radar in years past.
And that's very different.
It's not going to anymore.
It's also very different than saying that there's going to be right-wing editorial content within Cubs programming on marquee sports. I don't think there will be, but that's not what Dan was saying.
No, that's not. And you know, Crane points out, and pretty accurately, that there's a difference between Fox Sports and Fox News, or other Fox programming and Fox News. Yeah, that's, you're able to separate that, but the Cubs, will have a different dynamic in creating their marketplace because people are already subscribed to Fox Sports. It's not an extra decision they have to make. This
point.
Is an extra decision that people will have to make. They'll have to press go on the $6.50 a month or $4.50, whatever the hell it ends up being. They're going to have to. There is a next choice to make, and with that choice will come the information that's already out there about many things that have gone on with the Cubs this offseason.
The top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Don't miss Coach Collins and the Cats at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season for matchups with Minnesota and Ohio State. Purchase tickets now at NUSports.com. And Danny Parkins join us next for Transition on the Score.
Now, the Manager's Corner with the thoughts and opinions of the American League's winningest manager, the Orioles' Earl Weaver. And now, to the Manager's Corner with Earl Weaver.
Alice Sweet from Norfolk wants to know the best time to put in a tomato plant.
Alice Sweet ought to be worried about where next is coming from rather than where next tomato plant's coming from. If she'd get her ass out of bars at night and go hustling around the street, she might get in her once in a while. I don't understand where these questions are coming from, Tom. That's about it from Manager's Corner. Go off and get your show coming up next on the Baltimore Oriole Baseball Network.
Earl Weaver's version of Ann Landers.
Man, if that's the bar, I don't know how you're going
to
clear it.
Jeez. All she wanted to know was when the right time was to plant tomatoes. And he said, you know what, get out to the bars and you may have other things to plant. That's Dan Landers is a little bit more gentle than that coming up in just a little bit, I promise you.
I'm looking forward to it. I don't remember this bit from back in the day.
Well, you were 7.
Well, that would explain why.
7 or 8.
Something like
somewhere
that.
Somewhere in there. You weren't listening.
Definitely was not listening.
Yeah, you weren't on board yet.
Do not have heavy fuel crew memories, but I'm looking forward to it. How would you advise if this is a good move or not? Kim Kardashian has posted on Twitter a picture of her living room with probably, looks like maybe 500 plus roses in individual vases, red, pink, and white spread throughout. And in the middle, playing what looks like a clarinet, is Kenny G serenading her with a love song in her living room.
That's beautiful.
It's a nice job by Kanye. Not bad.
That's good.
I've never been able to pull that one off for Valentine's Day. What do you think something like that costs? Kenny G, who sold 75 million
nothing
records.
On to him, nothing. Day. Nothing. Like,
nothing?
No. Not, no, for him.
You think it's a million?
Oh, no. 500 roses?
No.
And the performance?
Kenny G to come to your house and play a song?
Well, I'm sure Kanye had an in with Kenny G. You think he just called him out of the blue and say, I'm sure favors can be exchanged down the road, right?
Well, yeah.
Kenny G respond, you know, maybe he can count on Kanye for a favor.
I'm saying, okay, what if Dan McNeil wanted Kenny G to play a private home party for Sherry. What does that cost?
I'd leave her if she wanted Kenny G over. No, I wouldn't.
That's just a ridiculous thing.
Yeah.
How's a normal guy supposed to be able to compete with that, Kanye?
That's just not relatable. I have considered commissioning musicians before, and I stopped before I even got started. I thought it would have been really cool if he were in Indiana during, you know, when Sherry and I got married. I could have had John Mellencamp show up and just play 3 songs and go away.
At the
wedding reception. But I never approached it.
Yeah, I mean,
I never even looked into where he was. It's like, forget it.
Yeah, I mean, forget it. But I always wonder, like, what those sort of, you hear stories of celebrity parties and encounters and like, oh yeah, John Legend showed up and played a set you know, some Prince of Dubai or something flew J-Lo in for a concert.
That's really cool.
For $1 million.
Yeah. Well, a first dance to Jack and Diane would have been great for us. That would have been a lot of fun because we both in high school, I mean, we were in the same high school. We were 10 years apart, but we were both kind of, you know, in many regards, good at two shoes for her, especially. You know, I did newspaper stuff. I did sports stuff. And
sure.
I was a freak on the side, had a half a pint of bourbon in my pocket.
That's okay.
On the weekends. But, yeah, Jack and Diane is a story about two clean-cut high school kids who fell in love. And while that doesn't completely relate to us by any stretch, it would have been cool.
Yes, it would have been cool.
Yeah, it would have been cool.
Well, you could say you had the thought.
Yeah, next time.
Yeah, of course. That's lovely.
That was our walkout song at our wedding.
Jack
was it
Diane.
Really?
Yeah. Had Russ Matera voice the introduction. Played
that's
that.
Awesome, and, Shep.
Yeah.
A walk-off song.
A walk-up or walk-out song or whatever.
Yeah, walk-up. Like when you were introduced as a couple, Mr. and Mrs. Nick Shepkowski.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Play. Ours was the Wire theme song.
Of course it was.
Which was?
Yeah, which season? That's what we want to know.
It was. Thank you, Tanny. Season 3.
Is that the Neville Brothers one?
Yeah, way down in the hole.
Yeah, they all go like that.
Yeah, so. It's not romantic in any way, but it's just, you know, to have the Wire theme introduce you.
Wonder who picked that.
She loved the Wire. It was us.
Okay.
A woman who loves her man right there.
Exactly.
Put up with that.
That's exactly right. Listen, she picked 95% of the details with the wedding. I was there for the food tasting, make sure we had top shelf booze. And the Wire intro.
There's a lot to plan for when you have a wedding. There's a ton of stuff. And coincidentally, one of our Dan Landers questions today that I chose has an upcoming wedding. I think it's in July.
Oh, okay.
And he's curious about something. So,
yeah, well, my thing, and I know we'll get to the advice, but the lesson I learned from wedding planning was that you can't say the answer to the question can't be I don't care. That is an unacceptable answer.
Pretend to care.
Yeah. Just offer an opinion. Even if she'll go with a different one. Be like, honey, whatever you would like.
Colors of invitations, seating charts, floral arrangements, disc jockey or band. What do we serve? There's a ton to do if you're doing it traditionally.
The order of events. What type of ceremonies. Who does the reading?
At a Jewish wedding, are we eating at 10 or 11?
Right. No Jewish wedding. We did a unity candle for her side. We smashed some glass for my side of the family. Then we had my cousin marry us, and we were in and out of there in 10 minutes.
Perfect.
It was amazing. I was like, come on, we're paying for an open bar. You guys don't want to sit through this sort of thing.
Perfect.
Yeah, casual.
That's you.
That's us. That was
okay. You go, team.
Us.
Part of a team.
That's right. My God.
Just picture you looking at a seating chart.
This guy. That was my one duty. That was my one one big responsibility.
The seating chart?
The entire seating chart. Yep.
How'd you do?
I thought I knocked it out of the park.
What did she think?
She accepted it, so
ground rule double.
She doesn't tolerate my lesser work usually, so must have done okay.
All right.
Put the random people with the random people, the stragglers.
Yeah, you always have like the overflow on tables. And it's like, I need two more seats there. Well, you're going on the random table.
The mutants at table 9.
The random table. The table in the back where there's 10 people and nobody knows each other except, you know, the couple that came together or two couples that came together.
Yeah, table 9 in the wedding singer.
Oh, that's what it is, table 9?
He goes, I don't think anyone here is ever going to find true love. Me, Fatty, the mutants over at table 9. There's like women with beards. But yeah, the thing we did, we ended up doing a sweetheart table. We're like, so we guarantee, so just the two of us, so we could have dinner together. Because every time, you're pulled in 100 different directions.
Yeah, and we sat away from everything and did the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Like for 15 minutes or whatever the heck it was.
Yeah, so you get served first, you can eat the food, then you can go around to the tables and say hello to your guests.
Any incidents at your wedding?
Chep, any
incidents?
Her cousin caused some damage to the venue by getting too wasted and like pulling down a paper towel dispenser in the bathroom. And
that's not terrible.
No,
that's not falling in the cake like Sandra Bullock did in 28 Days.
No, a couple hundred bucks in damage to the venue.
What about the broken glass you talked about?
No. This guy over here. What about you? Any incidents?
No, nothing like noteworthy, really. A couple people got really drunk and I don't know.
I'm sure
so. The one problem was we did hire because we the hotel was, I don't know, 5-6 miles away. So we hired a bus service and the bus service took them down the road to a different place with a similar name at first. And we called to like complain and get the money back. Like a week and a half, 2 weeks later, whatever, we got back from our honeymoon, and the bus driver had died, so they could not offer a refund, was their thinking.
Oh, boy.
It's like, all right, well, that's a way to get us to stop calling.
Cross him off, then.
You only lost a few $100 in a big wedding snafu. It's stealing. You're coming out ahead. All right, here it comes, the return. The man, the myth, the legend, Dan Landers, who we learned is a twin, or Ann Landers was a twin.
Yes, they are twins.
Who
Dear
knew?
Abby and Ann Landers were twins. It's been solved.
Dan Landers next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.